people are like, ugh, not all bronies are like that. Yeah, yeah, you know, get the defensive bitches. And it's like, it's just a fucking funny video, kids. Can't you just laugh at yourself?
Oh, my God. Wipe the rage spittle off your fucking face and go on with your life.
Go back to drawing cocks.
Oh. Wait, was it him?
No.
Okay.
It's just, I can, there are people commenting going, oh my God, not all bronies are like that, gosh. You know, the usual bullshit. I'm like, no. And those of us that have Dakimakura body pillows don't give a fuck because it's kind of funny. You have to have a certain mindset going into this.
Yeah.
If you don't assume, like, mean intent...
Mm-hmm.
Going into things are generally a lot more fun.
Yeah, if you want to just leave this in, I feel it's an interesting discussion.
Yeah,
on the nature of body pillows.
Well, I mean, I own one of the actual Moon Princess one. It's Luna.
It's officially called Moon Princess.
Something like that. I don't fucking care. I bought it because I like Atrol's work.
Yeah,
and I get kind of a perverse thrill in getting and purchasing things and owning things that would make the puritanical fuckheads cringe. Ah! Oh my God! You know, I've got this and that and the other and wolves, snarf, snarf. You know, oh Lino,
I want a Lino Dakimakura,
and then he'll know how strong I really am. Now, I really. Bitches make things too fucking serious, let me tell you. But yeah, I think that's funny, and, you know, this episode title is Dakimakura for Christmas, in case, you know, I'm going to trim out the first little bit there.
No. But
we're going to keep this in here.
Keep the first part in, too. It's relevant to the conversation.
Well, it's relevant to the conversation, but anyways,
You're just like, go back to drawing dicks, fucking faggot. But we don't name any names or anything like that, so yeah. It's all good.
It's like, you know, that's the funniest thing, moralizing pornographer.
People see, that makes your IMAX sad.
Yes, my IMAX going, boop, boop.
Can you control it remotely from your phone?
No, I can. I'd have to go mute it. It's Panther.
Well, you can do it when we're on break.
Yeah. So, this is episode 239.
Uh-huh.
And we're recording at 4:40 in the afternoon.
How about that?
We're not going to be getting done at midnight for once.
That's amazing.
I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And Shiva is taking some justifiable mental time off.
And we're recording early because I said fuck it.
Yep. And that's okay because it's the end of the year and there ain't fuck all going on in most of the business world.
There was work I could do, but with my boss on vacation, with every person around me, their cubicles empty because they're on vacation, it's like a 2.5-day work week. It's Friday. And I had a half day of PTO remaining for the year, and the year ends on Tuesday. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to take this. Also, I like when a lot of the lights are off on our floor. It's kind of relaxing and quiet. But when a bunch of them are off, it does kind of feel like I'm the only person there.
You're the only one in the cave.
Yeah, and the
the predators can hunt you that more easily there.
That's right. There are wolves after me. The motivation to work just sort of goes away.
Yeah.
So around 1:30, I was like, you know what? I'm using that last half PTO. I'm just going to take a half day and head home. So I'm like, great. I'm glad you were available. We could record. We had nice lunch at the Italian place.
Yep.
And we can record early.
Get it done.
And then I'm going to meet up with some friends later for hookah. So.
And I'm going to finish recording Divisions.
Possum.
And then I get to do the post-production.
Yep.
Which
is so much fun.
Yeah. I'm gonna actually have to clear off some space on my hard drive because I'm gonna have to re-render everything out in AFE and do some other stuff with that.
So is AFE larger?
It's uncompressed.
Oh, so you send uncompressed to Audible?
No,
no.
Just doing the post production.
Oh, okay, all right.
Which basically means
what format do you send them? MP3s?
192 kilohertz, 44 hertz, or 192 bitrate, 100 or 44 hertz mono. It's not actually that big.
But it's an MP3 file.
It's format. An
MP3. Okay, to their specs. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. It's just basically doing audio futzing, making sure it sounds as good as it can.
Yeah.
Before re-rendering out, based off the edited A file, rendering out as a mono MP3.
Yeah.
But it makes it sound a lot better, and you get less background noise included, and it kind of mitigates some of the stuff.
Cool, cool.
But yeah, it's been good. I'm getting a lot faster with the recordings. I mean, I've basically taken me 3 weeks to do divisions most of the way through, and part of that I was sick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my turnaround time has been really fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a good read, too. I had, as it's kind of been, I read ahead a couple chapters before I sit down and record, so it's good to reread.
Oh, yeah,
You know, it's good to have read all that, but it,
you don't want to be recording something, then be like, wait, what? What did he say? And then you start reading it engrossed in it again. It's like,
yeah.
That was a total surprise.
Wow, what a twist. Or, God damn it, Lee, you dumb cunt.
And the twist is they were inside Lee's anus all along.
It was all a dream.
There was like a whole world in there. It was like the village.
Who is number two? Well, we are in a fox's asshole.
I didn't mean that village.
I know.
It was not going to make a poop joke. How dare you, sir?
I've broken a rule.
Lowering the bar of our...
I'm sorry, we're not professional.
Our NPR-level intellectual show here.
But, you know, other than that, Christmas was cool. Very low-key. Mm. We had, like, 4 different family things to attend on Christmas Day.
It's not really low-key.
Well...
That's like a mad rush all over to Metroplex.
That is true. Because we ended up in Lake Worth, then Eagle Mountain Lake, then, like, that area right nearby. Then we went to Arlington, and then we came home around 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of flopped on the couch.
Yeah.
But it was not a stressful day, let's say that. It was, you know, running around and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was very pleasant, and everybody got along very nicely and got some very thoughtful gifts.
Cool. You know? Tieran and I went over to his parents' place, and we went over there early. We got there at like 8:45 in the morning. His mom made everybody breakfast, then we opened presents, and then we did turkey dinner around like 1:32 in the afternoon.
Nice.
Chilled for a little while. What was funny was they bought me the Doctor Who 50th special on Blu-ray because it was on my wish list.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, that's the anniversary special, right? We haven't seen it yet. Do we mind if we watch it? So we all sat and watched the 50th again. You know,
it's just like the 6th or 7th time you've seen it.
Probably, yeah. But
it's a good show, though.
I just opened it up there again, and we watched it on their Blu-ray player. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Then we went home, and so tired.
Oh, yeah. And it was funny in sort of a weird way, because every place you went, they're like, eat, eat, eat.
Yeah.
It's Christmas. And I'm like, I can't. Because, you know, we went to IHOP for breakfast with my parents.
And then
went to Panther's dad and stepmom, then mom and stepdad, and then his dad's side of the family in Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
And first thing we walk in the door at his extended family's in Arlington, it's like, you want a ginger snap martini? Yes. Yes. And it's like this 5-ounce martini. They call it a martini. I don't know what it's just. It's just a mixed drink.
Yes.
And it was like 2 ounces of vodka, 2 ounces of this ginger snap liquor, and 1 ounce of something else. And it, oh my God.
Yeah.
Hits me like a truck.
Nice.
Good thing I was not driving.
Yeah. Yeah. Because with your decreased stomach capacity.
Yeah, that shit goes right through me. There's it's actually a weird thing that I've kind of figured out is, like, I can't barely drink because anything that I ingest will hit me really hard, really fast, because there is no eat bread or other things to make it sit in my stomach longer.
Yeah.
Because I can't really do that.
Right.
So, like, if I drink something, it goes through pretty quick, and there's no stopping it, and it goes right into the absorptive tissues, and boom.
Yeah, you're drunk.
Woo! I'm a cheap drunk now, and a cheap date. Great.
Well, I mean, I'm a cheap date for different reasons. This is just, I don't have a great big alcohol tolerance anyway.
Oh, so. No, I was...
One drink, and I start getting a wee bit red in the face, and I'm just like, hee-hee, I'm not drunk.
Tee-hee.
So here. Take a look at these.
He's got stuff. Oh, what do we got?
More proofs.
Table for Three, Story and Art by Ace, 18-plus adult.
It is a bisexual comic, two guys and a girl.
Oh, he's cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just showing, for those at home, I'm showing Saverin proofs of some of our upcoming releases. This is, like I said, Table for Three. And it's a comic that Tieran discovered. I had not heard of this artist before, and I'm going to have to go and check him out.
I like his style. He draws cute little Twinkie boys, and they're fucking, and... And there's a chick, and...
Yep. There's like, guy on guy at the beginning, and then there's guy and girl on guy. Then I think at the end, they just focus on making her come, and that's fun, too.
I could fap to this.
See, that's... we will put that as an attribution on the back cover, you know? I could fap to this, Saffron.
Well, I mean, that's definitely a valid statement. It's a porn comic.
Yeah, that is actually a good thing. And now, if you look at, like, you know, my baby pictures and I'm like, I could fap to this, I'll be sort of like, ugh. But, so the other one is Volume 1 of Suburban Jungle by The Niche, which was a fairly long-running webcomic. And he originally released it, three separate volumes, and we're basically doing doing a reprint of it. So we will hopefully have those out as well soon. We've got all the files for all three of them, and, they're just, going through the printer now, but, I think the reprint turned out pretty well. That's Volume 1 there.
Yeah. Wow. This is old.
Yeah,
99, okay.
Okay, yeah, I remember it was one of the early web comics, one of the early things I discovered when I got into the fandom, so yeah.
Yeah, and 99's. The art evolves pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It's very much a comic strip style, so I mean, it's not
yeah,
like,
it was a web comic.
It's not like it's high art in terms of its design, but the art evolves... And
And it was like one of the first gay characters I saw in a webcomic was Drezzer the Wolf.
Yeah.
Which it's so funny because, like, he doesn't wear pants and is not depicted as anatomically correct. He just wears his leather jacket and he's got his hair all groovy looking. But it kind of takes you back, don't it?
Yeah, I remember reading this back in the day.
Figure it's out in print, you know, the older fans can pick it up that remember it, and we can introduce it to some new fans.
Yeah.
Much like we're also doing the print format for, like, the Gene Catlow comics and stuff, too. So, getting a healthy little catalog of web comics out there as well.
Wow, they even included the September 11, 2001 Sad Furries comic. It's not really a comic, it's just, you know, everybody did something around that time.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them were, not particularly that one, but some of them were a little odd.
There's actually a reference to The Prisoner.
Oh.
like the original series.
Yeah, that's right. There was a whole segment of Suburban Jungle.
Yeah, and I was like, wow.
The prisoner. They flash back to that a few times, I think. So yeah, that's another thing we're working on. I will probably add those to the store very soon. We've also added a bunch of other upcoming releases that are available for pre-order now. Most of those are coming out for FC, which is, oh God, what is that, 3 weeks from now?
Two, really? Because it's like the 14th to the 16th.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're looking at...
It's the 16th to the 19th.
Less than 3 weeks.
Yeah. Oh God, just... Time is flying, man. It's like we just got over Christmas. We got New Year coming up. We'll probably do a New Year's Eve party.
I would hope so, considering you've invited all these people.
Yeah. And then, like, 2 weeks later, we'll be at FC. And that'll be real busy for me, because I'm having my back operation on the 10th. And then I go to work on the following Monday. And then the 15th, I fly out.
Yeah. I'm going to be missing it this year, but... Shit didn't quite work out like I'd hoped.
But you'll be at Fiesta, right?
If I'm not at Fiesta, they're going to kill me.
Yeah, so I'll be at... Tira and I will both be at FC and Fiesta. I'm missing FWA because I can't get the time off work. So Tira is going to FWA in my stead. And then, yeah, I think we talked about all the... God, it feels like I'm at every damn con, but yeah, I've got
most of them.
A lot of them, that's for sure. I've got most of my time off approved for them as well.
That's good.
So yeah, so that's what's going on in my life. And we've added more comics to the Bad Dog Books website as well. So we have five comics by Atomic Boy X on there now, in addition to Overtime by Brawford. So, if you like the beefier, musclier, chubbier guys, we've got some of that kind of artwork on the site now as well. So, you know, check that out. BadDogBooks.com. Ah, that's the end of my plugging there. What else was I going to say? I'd done... something... I got a hold of something cool, and... I don't remember what the fuck it was. I'm sure it'll come to me. So, where do we want to go now?
Well, I'm looking at the emails we've gotten, and...
Luke?
The questionably friendly fox.
The overly friendly fox, fondle.
No, it's just like, the questionably friendly fox, I'm like... Is he questionably friendly towards us? What does it mean? I'm just looking at the...
Was that the subject line?
Yeah.
Huh.
Just looking at the various... I see 25 emails in here.
Okay.
Refresh.
Yeah, I've gotten it down to 23 because there was a couple of spams in there.
Okay. So, I think we can just kind of cut to the chase because we don't really have a lot of other shit to talk about. I mean... Christmas, it was good. New comics, yeah, I can fap to that. Dakamakuras, they sure are a thing.
Yeah.
Not fuzzy hospital socks, yeah.
Hump that pillow all night. Wearing your fuzzy hospital socks for traction.
Yeah. I actually still have the hospital socks they give you. You don't really get to wear shoes, but they give you the socks with little grippy things on the bottom. They're really, really warm.
Yeah.
So I can walk around the house.
Oh, yeah. My mom did the same thing after a couple of her surgeries. So
I was like, I've got two pairs of them, and I'm just wearing them.
They're really comfortable socks.
Yeah. It's like, hey, it's my memento from the hospital.
Yes.
So, anyways, I think we're going to start doing some emails, and we'll just start from the bottom, because we're still catching up to emails. This is from November 12th. Okay. From 11, 12, 13.
Woo! Or not.
Okay, so, funniest to the worst con ever. I know this is a little late, oh, not casters of the tri-table, but I figure I would finally get around to letting you know my Rainforest experience went. I drove some 300-plus miles to get to Seattle a day before the con to spend the night at my brother's place and to spend some time with him, as well as making the last part of the trip only 30 minutes long. We had a great night of us cooking dinner in his new apartment with my brother's girlfriend and two other friends who happened to be there. The next morning, my brother and I went to a local coffee shop, not a Starbucks, and had a really good cup of coffee before I headed down to SeaTac, where I began my hunt for bags of ice for the cooler I brought full of bottled sodas for the room I was sharing. This was harder than I made it out to be. But by now it was getting around noonish, and I was kind of peckish, so I grabbed myself something to eat. Did you write this on your phone, dude? So I could take to the hotel while I waited to hear from my roommates as well as for registration to open. I got the call from the roommates, got my hotel room, then proceeded to load the hotel car completely full of all the treats and other items I brought for the con. Got my con badge and proceeded to the den for my first look around. Several people had yet to set up, but I was not worried. The den had only been open for a short time. I got myself Ferraticon cards, was looking forward to learning how to play the game, and then got one of my favorite artists, and am first in line to have a blue pencil drawing done. Everything is going really good. I went to my first writing panel, opening ceremonies to get to happen, and there I had Fuzzwolf, hello Fuzzwolf, Mary Loud, authors of Otters in Space, Both Play for Planet, a great publishing company, and Kyle Gold, author of many great books.
He didn't have me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No. Just protect my reputation out there. I'm not that easy. You can't just come to a panel and have me. I was starting.
Anyways, he was having fun. Went to the main theater where he sat and watched the opening ceremony. Enjoyed myself watching the opening sort of cheesy sketch. After the opening ceremony, I head down to the writing panel where I set my writing equipment. Chatted with the people around me, and then my phone rang. This is where the con from me having a complete and total high to a drop to the lowest you can ever get. My dad called and let me know that my stepmom, for whom I was close with as I am with all my family, had just passed away after being moved from a hospital to a long care facility that specialized in people that had brain traumas. She had a stroke after an aggressive cancer treatment. The thing is, when I felt she seemed like she was on the rebound. Or the thing is, when I left, she seemed like she was on the rebound. So from the incredible high I was on and getting around so many great people, this was jarring. I went back to the room after getting a hotel cart and was sort of stunned for a while. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I know what I had to do and what I did do, but I guess I was in shock. I was lucky that one of my roommates was there, and he helped me pack up the cart, making sure I had everything. He's even nice enough to let me have back my share of the money for the room. I decided to leave a few munchies for him and the other roommate, got in my car, and quickly packed up. I was able to say goodbye, got some hugs from friends before I left. I will go back to Rainforest next year, but I have to say this is not one of my best con experiences.
Oof.
I would like to say thank you to Mary Loud, for whom I ran into as I was leaving the hotel, and she sold me her copy of Otters in Space 2. Anyways, this is my delayed Rainforest Con report, Running Cat. P.S. I want to thank Fuzzle for his stories for dealing with the death of his mother in that same way, sort of helped me with mine.
Oh, I'm glad that could be a help, and you know what it's like. There's not much you can say except, sorry for your loss, and it's going to be one of the hardest experiences of your life.
Yeah.
But things will get better. As time goes by, you never really get over it. You just kind of learn to live with it, and that gets easier with time.
Yeah, it just hurts less over time, I suppose.
Yeah. And there's still those little special times or something random sometime will remind you.
Some random thing says, oh, that was her favorite thing, or that was...
Yeah.
We always would go to blah.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons I've been reticent to really jump into Person of Interest is my mom was a really big Jim Caviezel fan. Like, she really liked him. And I remember when she told me, oh, he's getting a TV show. So, because he'd just mostly been in movies then. So I'll be able to see him every week. And I was like, that's great. And it premiered, like, 2 months after she died. So she never got to see it. So I'm like, that show for me is just kind of a reminder, a little bit of, she was looking forward to that. And
understandable.
Yeah. I would like to watch it because it sounds like a good show. It's just unfortunate that it was something Mom wanted to see and was not able to.
Yeah.
It's kind of like for me, like if I was on my deathbed and it was like right before the next, the Doctor Who regeneration special or something, I'd be like calling up BBC America to be like, you let me see it. I don't know if I can make it till Saturday, and I have to see it.
Unlike the doctor, I'm not going to be able to regenerate.
Yeah. But
I'm only a Time Lord kin.
I have heard of that happening, though. Not specific to Doctor Who, but a couple of other situations where, like, producers have been like, of course we'll let the guy that's dying of cancer see this movie or whatever. Yeah. You know? Which is really sweet when they do that for somebody. And, like,
Disney has done that for some of theirs, too.
Yeah. Which totally makes sense. I heard recently that Taylor Swift did a web call with this little girl that had leukemia, and she had, you know, she'd wanted to talk to Taylor Swift. It was like her make a wish thing. So, but, okay. Anyway, sorry, off topic there a little bit. Okay. So I'll read the next one up then. Asperger's. Hello, Notcast. I have just recently discovered your podcast. I've been very entertained until episode 17, where you talked about Asperger's. The way you described how people with Asperger's are made me very, very pissed off. The fact remains is I have medical diagnosed Asperger's. Needless to say, I did not enjoy this episode, as I continue to listen to your podcast, I hope this changes. Yours truly, Cal Ruvia.
This email was sent in 2013.
Yeah, so I can't really... I mean, there's no way I know who said it or what was said, because this was like nearly 6 years ago.
Or, and to put a more point on it, 212 episodes ago.
Yeah. So.
No. 222 episodes ago.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't. You know, it can't have been that bad. I mean, we know people with Asperger's.
Well, I think a lot of what... I can imagine what our discussion probably went is how people use Asperger's as an excuse to be an asshole.
Yeah, that happens.
And how there is a big difference between medically diagnosed Asperger's and people who self-diagnose.
Because, and there's a lot of people that self-diagnose.
So, I don't know... I mean, obviously, 222 episodes ago, that's a lot... We've said a lot of controversial shit, and if that's the worst thing you've heard so far, well, good fucking luck.
Yeah, wait till you get to episode 49. But,
wasn't 63 another one of those episodes, too?
I don't remember.
Well, like, I got a note on DeviantArt of all fucking places.
Wow.
That was like, yo, hey, I finally made the connection between you and your other shows, and I love them both, and I'm looking forward to getting started with Notcast, and I've started at the beginning. I know you say you shouldn't do that, but I'm doing it anyway. And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
You're a brave man.
Well, it's not even brave man. It's like, Jesus Christ, that's... 239 episodes.
Yeah.
By the end of this one.
Yeah.
I appreciate your dedication, but my goodness.
Plus all of our unnumbered Notcast presents.
Oh, Jesus. And specials and other shit.
And other kin.
And the Grand Canternot Cavalcade. Okay, well, sorry you offended, but I've that far back, I can't tell you what it was.
Yeah, and, you know, there are, with any medical diagnosis, they're like, here are your typical symptoms. And if we talked about, well, people with Asperger's tend to do this. And if you're like, that's not fair, it's an unfair stereotype or whatever. Well, sorry, that's what Wikipedia says, you know, are the symptoms for this condition. You know, and I can see people getting pissed about that. Well, it's kind of like, well, TS, the majority of people with your condition... do this certain thing or whatever.
So, yeah. Next, moving on. Transgender issues. Apologies for this being so long after the episode, but I am a lazy bastard. This one is from 11/15/2013. No need for this to make air. Well, too bad. This is for the one trans writer of the last couple shows who faced discrimination at their workplace. Lambda Legal recently successfully fought back against something similar up here in South Dakota, the reddest of states, and even won in what could be a landmark case. All I really want to do is pass this content information on to that one writer so maybe something can be done to right the prior wrongs, Check them out at lambdalegal.org, posting the specific case. Lambdalegal.org, victory. Lambdalegal helps South Dakota transgender employee win landmark settlement after wrongful termination. And advocate.com, the trans woman wins landmark settlement in SD discrimination suit.
So you can Google that with those website
South
addresses.
South Dakota, Lambdalegal, they have, I'm pretty sure they have like a specific trans rights subset of the page.
Mm.
They have it broken down. We got to look after each other. No one else will. Cody. Well, thank you. Hopefully that writer is listening and will check that out and hopefully be encouraged that, yeah, Lambda Legal has been doing some really good shit this year. Them and the ACLU and,
Yep.
They've been slapping bitches left and right.
So the next one we can't read because it says, please don't read on air. In the subject line.
Oh. Okay.
So I just left it as marked it as unread. Then we can take care of that later.
I will flag it.
Okay.
That one's from the 17th.
You flag it.
Yep.
Okay. Topic idea. Hey, Raffle Nodders. Q here from the Wild Rockies in Colorado. I was reflecting as I groomed myself. And then coughed up hairballs. Look, I know there's other ways to groom, but I just imagine furries licking their fur clean.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah. And let's do some old school knot cast, and an idea came on me. What?
It's like listening to the oldies with knot cast. It's like we're the, oh, fuck. What's his name? Dick Van Dyke or whatever. It's like, it's massive, long
Dick
career.
Clark.
Dick Clark.
Yes.
Rocking it with the old school nutcam. Yeah. Oh, jeez. All right, go on. Sorry.
Okay. So, how did you find Knotcast? I thought to myself. We've heard how you Knotcasters found the show, but it might be a fun topic to throw out to your listeners. Oh, that's actually not a bad idea. How did the listeners find us? For example, at the ripe age of 9th grade, I was but a young ocelot, wandering through puberty and pawing my way into high school and bisexuality. I loved Sonic the Hedgehog, yeah baby, particularly, is that Rouge or Rogue?
Rogue.
It's okay.
I think it's Rogue.
With her big, sexy ass and huge bouncy tits.
Her bat titties.
I didn't know why, and I didn't know what to call my fetish for these kinds of things. I'd always been a bit more knowledgeable than the majority of my peers when it came to relationship and sex knowledge, and they came to me for advice and answers. This was due to the fact that the radio station I frequented had a program that came on nightly at 10 p.m. called Loveline. It was a sex and relationship advice program, much like Knotcast, but with a professional psychologist. And not three random assholes.
Yeah. Three assholes on the internet or a psychologist.
One night, while laying in my bed listening to the show, a furry called in, asking about how to tell his girlfriend that he wanted to have sex in his suit. This led to the conversation between Dr. Drew and his co-host about what a furry was. I can only imagine. The description the doctor gave fit me to a T. People who draw arousal from animal people, like the Japanese fox women or Disney's Robin Hood. Wow. From that moment, the word furry was burned into my psyche. I looked it up on my iTunes the next morning to see if there was anything popular about furries. This was a day that a second episode of Knotcast showed up on iTunes. I gave it a listen, and you've been my new love line since. There have been periods of time where I've stopped listening and had to catch up again, but you've all impacted my life positively for 5+ years now. All I can say is thank you guys for doing what you do, and thank whatever God there may be that you've enjoyed podcasting enough to continue for so long. Sorry for hitting you all with a huge wall of text, but I figured the suggestion might help, and you might want a reminder that you have an impact on furs out there, which is always really nice to hear, actually. Keep safe, stay smart, and stay furry. Sincerely, Kiyu.
Smiley face.
Smiley face.
Well, thank you. These are the kinds of emails we love to get, where it's not the, my life is shit. I mean, those are important, too, but the, you guys have positively impacted my life, and I've been listening for a long-ass time. That's always really cool to hear.
Yeah.
It just blows my fucking mind sometimes that there's people who have been listening to this for the past 5 years.
I know, right?
I mean, it's not that we've been doing it for 5 years. I mean, if we stopped doing this, I wouldn't know what the fuck to do with my Friday nights. But
make sweet love. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. That sounds boring.
I did see one email. I'm not sure. I think it's a newer one, so it'll be a while, talking about how they wanted to tie you down, spread eagles, and drill you into fart tank.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I need to find that email.
Your turn.
And I just reply to that email, I came.
With just like an ASCII cum puddle, if you can make that.
Okay. This one is titled Trans Passports. Let's make me anonymous, shall we? My hitters. That's what it says. Your listeners might want to know about this.
Okay.
About 3 years ago, the Obama administration did something sneaky to improve trans rights. They were sneaky enough to avoid an uproar. The downside is that a lot of trans people don't seem to know about what the administration did because, well, nobody told them. The short version is some states make it quite hard for trans people to be legally recognized as the gender they identify with, which, if my understanding is correct, I could be wrong, these states control via the IDs they issue, usually driver's license. Fortunately, passports can be used at almost all circumstances the driver license can be used in, and passports are issued by the State Department. So on June 10th, 2010, the State Department announced today that from now on, if you bring a note from your doctor that you've undergone appropriate clinical treatment for gender transition, you'll be able to get a passport to match the gender you identify with. If you are still in the middle of the process of switching over, don't worry, you can get a limited validity passport until everything is settled. And for those who don't want to go through surgery, sexual reassignment surgery is no longer a prerequisite for passport issuance, the State Department said. For more information, and there's a link, note that you could use your passport when applying for a job, so hopefully that'll help your trans listeners who have work-related woes. Cool.
Can you put that note in the...
Yeah, I'll put that in the show notes for this week.
All right, cool.
Because, yeah, that is important news. And yeah, I'd heard about that, but yeah, it was something that didn't hit, you know, obviously didn't hit the news cycle and everyone going, oh my God, you know, Fox News went going, oh my God, those dirty trannies are going to sneak their ways into our women's dressing rooms and going to wear our pretty dresses, you know, or whatever.
And they're going to masturbate on their fake tits.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah, it looks like the website is thecable.foreignpolicy.com. And, you know, we'll put the whole link in the show notes because it looks like it's...
Yeah, because it is from June 10th, 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fairly old article.
Right. But yeah, it does go back a ways. Well, it's always good to remind folks that may not know about that. I mean, they don't issue you a transgendered manual when you realize you're transgendered. So yeah. A lot of folks, younger people, may not know that resource is out there.
Yeah, sadly, humans are not standardized enough that they just issue a manual. Yeah. Oh, what's that? You're gay? All right, here's the gay manual. Here's the lesbian manual. Here's the trans manual.
Yeah.
You know. Here's the bisexual manual. You get both.
Wait, what? Just throw all the leaflets at you.
You're straight? Well, here's your pamphlet.
Here's your flyer, and it's like a picture of two cavemen, you know, just because it's very basic. It's tab A and the slip B.
Okay.
All right. Advice, please. Greetings, Notcast. Last weekend, I attended my cousin's wedding and found out another cousin, the groom's brother, might be gay. That side of the family is uber religious, so I doubt he's out to them if he is gay. When I found this out, I was tempted to look him up on Facebook to find out if he is, tell him that I'm gay and that my family is okay with it. The main reasons I haven't done it yet are we haven't spoken in about 10 years, and I never realized just how religious his family was till the wedding, so I'm a little bit worried he might be self-hating or in denial. I don't want that branch knowing I'm gay. There's also a bit of an age gap. He's in his late 20s, and I've just turned 20, so it might make things a little awkward. Just wanting your opinions, Toru Kawaso. P.S. Please forgive any spelling or grammatical errors. Hope this doesn't constitute a wall of text. It doesn't. And if you manage to get my name right on the first try, I'll give you cookies should we meet.
I don't know. You're going to get those cookies, Fez.
And... Oh, then he had a follow-up because he forgot. I forgot to actually ask the question. That's what I get for writing an email right before bed after all day. The question I meant to ask was, do you think I should find my cousin on Facebook and ask if he's gay, or should I leave it alone? I don't think it would be a problem to look him up on Facebook and foster some kind of relationship with him if you have things in common and you want to get to know this family member better. I don't know if I would necessarily broach the gay topic. I mean, if you find him on Facebook and his profile says he's openly gay, then you know you can actually talk to him about it.
Yeah.
But there is a concern if you don't want that side of the family knowing that you're gay and you don't have not yet had a real close relationship with this cousin, it might not be worth taking the risk.
Well, I would definitely not drop it on him out of the blue. Hey, I saw you with this wedding and you seem pretty gay. Are you? That will get you off on the wrong foot.
Right.
I think, you know, if you really want to go down this rabbit hole, you should probably try to talk to the guy first, you know, establish some sort of rapport so that, you know, if you do ask him, it's not going to be completely out of the blue. But yeah, the whole Facebook thing, if he's on Facebook and your other side of the family's on Facebook, odds are he's not going to have anything overtly gay on said Facebook page.
Mm.
But it does not hurt to try to get to know this person better.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if he feels isolated, which I don't know, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, you know, having somebody else in the family talk to them might be helpful. And yeah, he's older, but
not that much older. You're basically in the same generation still.
Yeah. I don't think you'd be too far off base to get in touch with this guy, but I would definitely not just drop that shit on him. Go for it. It's almond.
It's almond and it's dark.
It's really good. That one's peanut butter.
Yeah. I'll take this one.
It's
Christmas candy.
It's Christmas candy. It's terrible because basically everybody's like, well, my family is pretty broke. And both side of Panther's family basically gave him crap loads of chocolate and gave me crap loads of chocolate, gave our roommate crap loads of chocolate. So we have this communal pile of chocolate.
Nice.
We have a little IKEA table that has just a bunch of chocolate spread on. We have a couple more baggies full of stuff. It's not completely full, but there's a significant amount of Dove chocolates and the little cheapy chocolate coins, which isn't really chocolate. It's chocolate flavored.
What's it made of then if it's not chocolate?
It's artificial. I don't know.
Artificial chocolate? Like
carob.
What? It's a scarab? Like no, a carob. Mummy? What's a carob?
It's a type of bean. It's easily flavored.
Really?
Mm. It's like non-dairy chocolate for people that are... I don't fucking know. Anyways, it's not very good. It's sweet. Okay. That is what I would say for that. And so at this point, it is 5:20.
Okay.
We're about 40 minutes in, and I need to do a quick edit. So I'm going to do that now, and we're going to take a quick break. We have a song. We have chosen this song beforehand. I showed it to Fuzz, and he was like, yes, this is fine.
Yeah, look up the video.
I will put that in the show notes, too.
Okay.
Because I acquired the MP3 kind of through sketchy means. Just one of those shitty YouTube to MP3 things.
Oh, okay, so, yeah.
It's like, I want to inflict this on more people.
Right.
We'll be back, and then we'll have a thing from Adam and Eve, and we'll continue reading more emails. We've got 15 left, according to this.
Okay.
We might be able to get them all if they're quick. Maybe. BRB?
Oh, 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 yeah. What do you want for Christmas, little girl?
I want My Little Pony.
I want the ducky makura for Christmas. Only a wife for Rainbow Dash 1 will do. Don't want the blow-up doll. No flesh like Lyra plush. I want the ducky makura with boobies I can smush. I want the ducky makura for Christmas. I don't think Lauren Faust will mind, do you? Now Hasbro won't approve my pillowcase design, but cheap third-party printing means that Dashie will be mine. I can see me now on Christmas morning, creeping up the stairs. Oh, what joy and fake surprise when I open up my eyes to see a waifu pillow standing there. I want a Ducky Makura for Christmas. Only a waifu Dashie one will do. No rarities or pinkies, no Twilight Delacorn. Rainbow Dash is the pony who's in all my favorite porn. And I have almost as much as Scootaloo. Swing it! Oh, yeah! Mom says a pony would bite me once or more, but what she doesn't know is that I'm totally in divorce. There's lots of room for Dash down in my basement. She'd eat my cum and make her nest in Cheeto dust and lint. I can see me now on Christmas morning, jerking off downstairs. Oh, what marvel and surprise in my pony waifu's eyes to get another streak of color in their hair. Oh, I want a Ducky Makura for Christmas. Only a Fuda Dashie one will do. No flatter size, no AJ, cause she's dumb. Rainbow Dash is a pony inside whom I want to come. And Dashie wants to come inside me too.
Oh my god, that deep throat pocket mouth is just
terrifying.
Yeah, it's kind of got this look like, feed me, Seymour! Feed me, cock! All that long. Okay, so, this looks fun. There's a waterproof prostate massager for $29.95. And that looked like it could be kind of fun. Stimulating the male G-spot with this slender and easy-to-use vibrating prostate massager. Made of firm plastic for easy guidance, the long shaft of this anal vibrator enables the user or his partner to hold the toy securely, letting the angled tip work its magic directly against the prostate for unbelievable sensations. The base of this anal sex toy holds a powerful vibrator with speeds that quickly adjust with a twist for customized vibes, even in the heat of the moment. Tilted tip for perfect prostate massage, multi-speed vibrations, easily adjustable twist-based control, waterproof design for tub and shower play. Uses two AAA batteries sold separately. Perfect for beginner, intermediate, and advanced sex toy users. So you don't have to be level 90 to use this prostate massager.
Yep. It's bind on account. You know, it scales with your level.
Yeah. So, buy some stuff from AdamandEve.com. Our sponsor, our coupon code is NOT.
K-N-O-T.
K-N-O-T. And you can get up to 50% off, free shipping, domestic, and
they've actually changed that now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't get the free shipping anymore. But you still get the bonus gift at $17 plus.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, they've changed their shipping to after you spend $69, you get free shipping.
Oh, okay.
It's very appropriate.
Yes, and we like shipping.
Yep.
Cool. Okay. So, moving on.
Oh, jeez.
Whose turn is it to
read? That would be mine.
Okay. Are you having some difficulty?
Yeah, you. I reopened the thing, and some of the emails we've read have been archived.
Yeah.
So it updated on this. So the email I was trying to hit jumped down the list. So like, ah.
Oh, yes, yeah, it's a game now. You have to try and catch the email as it moves.
Okay. Hey there, Notcasters. I've been listening to the show for a while now. Just started going through the earlier episodes of the show. You poor thing. This is titled An Interesting Video, by the way, from November 22nd, 2013. I was roaming around YouTube and happened upon this interesting short title called Imagine a World Where Being Gay is the Norm and Being Straight Would Be the Minority. I live in a religious family who has negative views of gays, but not the stereotypical "they're going to hell" view, sort of a pity view. I, on the other hand, am able to openly embrace homosexuality, even though I am not gay myself. This film really did its purpose of conveying the hardship that homosexuals face by switching the role and putting heterosexuals as the strange ones, the ones fighting for equal rights and getting bullied as children. The aloneness and the slurs from the people walking past. It really helped to deepen my understanding and empathy. Thought you guys might be interested in watching it. If you really want to, you could watch it before the show and share your thoughts on it. Link. And I'll put that in the show notes, too. Sincerely, your ever-living lab rat, Moonscorch. This is going to be lots of stuff in the show notes this week.
Yeah, are you going to actually remember to link all these?
Probably.
Are you sure?
Well,
this is your test. This is you going on the record in front of a microphone. Do you realize that we're being recorded right now, right?
Oh my God, we are? We're not just sitting here pretending we're putting on a podcast?
Yeah. It's fun to pretend.
But yeah, because like this YouTube video, the link to the music we just played, and the thing about the transgender passports. That's three things so far.
And wasn't there the Lambda legal thing about something else? The South Dakota thing?
Oh, the South Dakota transgender anti-discrimination.
Yes, so it's four things.
Four things.
All right. We shall see. Okay. Okay. Possibly off topic, I'm just going to hide in a TARDIS. The problematic rants of a crazed Whovian are about to be heard. Expect random, senseless references. Ugh. You have been warned. Hey there, spellcasters of the knot. I'm a new listener, and while I've barely gotten episode 138, I can guarantee that you guys already have a permanent listener. Yay! I'd like to offer a jelly baby an apology, but there's going to be a small amount of relationship math coming up. So put on your glasses and grab your calculators, because this one sure has me stumped. As a 17-year-old wolf in eastern Pennsylvania, I haven't exactly been exposed to much real-life furs. In fact, until 2 years ago, the only exposure to the fandom I'd had was from the 3 years of smut I'd found online.
I know that feel.
Then I met my best friend. We'll call him S. Now, S has been almost a companion to me, and I would do anything for him. And until 2 weeks ago, I was certain our bond would be unbreakable. Needless to say, I was wrong. He decided to introduce me to his girlfriend, Elle, saying we should get to know one another. And from the minute I met her, I had the urge to tell myself, "Allons-y," and disappear into the shadows forever. Because after about 4 hours of hanging out with them, I went home with a reality-breaking revelation. I was in love with my best friend's girlfriend. Now, my dating past has been horrible. I've dated 6 girls, and all of them broke it off with a goodbye and not so much as a reason why. But Elle was different. She gave me a reason, and it was a damn good... No, I'm kidding. But Elle was different. She was every fantastic thing about my past girlfriends and more. Even when we would just text, I swore my heart was beating like the never-ending drums. But this is where things go even further into the untempered schism. Oh, and they both know I have some sort of attraction to her. I openly admitted it to both of them, and they just dumbed it down to a small appeal, which they both understood and they said appreciated the honesty on. When me and her would text, it would often involve some slight roleplay action to keep things not boring. Well, one day during conversation, she went from sitting next to me with her head in my lap. If that doesn't confuse me enough for my own sanity, I asked her the horrible hypothetical, "Do I have a shot?" And not 5 seconds later, I got a yes. There's more, though. My persona has sensitive ears. I guess you could say besides my main tool, they're the easiest way to get me hot and ready. Due to the fact that I think someone giving them a nom while we fool around is just amazing. Elle knew both of these details full well about 2 hours beforehand, and we spent half an hour worth of conversation with her on my lap and, you guessed it, giving them some nom. This whole situation is like a Pandorica to me. Either way, I wind up trapped, whether it be in my own pitiful emotions or over the hate of S and maybe even L, if I try to act on them. Since those two are really the only friends I can trust with a promise like this, it falls onto you guys. The people that I feel I can trust the biggest secret in the universe to to me. No, not the doctor's name, but failure of a love life. Sorry for the massive text. I tried to shorten it and give it a polish, but the software in the TARDIS is a bit thin. The old girl could barely download you guys without much trouble. Anyways, hoping to hear a solution from you guys soon. The Time Lord and Arctic Wolf from the East, Jax Knight.
If we gave awards for best email of the year in terms of effort, I think this guy would win. He's like, I'm going to write this directly to Fuzzwolf. I'm going to make all the references I possibly can and also tie it into the question at hand. So.
Savard gives you golf clap.
I'm amused. I'm genuinely amused.
To me, the untempered schism is a pet name for an anus.
So,
got the hots for the best friend's girlfriend.
Oh, dude.
No, ma'am. You need to back off that. That's going to end in tears and possibly blood.
Yes. And if there's any sweat with those blood and tears, you know.
You'll have enough to make a 70s band.
Yes.
Yeah, you're asking for trouble there, man. I mean, it sounds like she's flirting a lot, but... No. You need to stay neutral. I think you need to cool it down a little bit. Just think about her and jerk off if you need to get it out of your system.
Yeah.
But you're at a risk damaging your friendship with both of them.
Yeah. So I had this happen when I was much, much, much younger. Sort of a same situation thing going on. Best friend, got a girl, had the hot to said girl. Shit did not go well. You know, person who was formerly my best friend for years, you know, after the whole girl thing, just fucking nope. Now, admittedly, he's married to her now, and they have a kid, and obviously I'm a big old faggot, so, you know. But my dick, you know, is just like, it's cool, hormones going one way or the other, doesn't matter.
Right.
Bisexuality is awesome. Wait, So, yeah, dude, you do not need to get yourself into this fight. Because it's not a fight now, but it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight no matter how it goes. Whether it's going to... And it's going to end badly for you. Because your bro, you know, I'm not, you know... Obviously, she is a free-willed individual that can make her choices. But going that route... is going to be a really terrible thing. You will lose your friend. You might cause him to break up with her. And all in all, it's just not going to end well. And there's no regenerating out of this. There, I have to add my reference.
Yeah. You're on your last life.
You know, you have to absorb extra energy so you can become Peter Capaldi. I haven't seen the episode yet. So, yeah, dude, I appreciate the skill in which you wrote this email, but you need to back the fuck off from this situation.
Yeah.
This is, you know, your whole Alonzi run away into the shadows and perhaps try not to get eaten by the Vashti Narada might be a better idea.
Yeah. I agree. I'm all out of references right now, but
yeah.
It's not a good idea. You do want to avoid going there.
Yep.
So, I think we both agree on that.
Mm-hmm. So, you read that one.
Yep. You gonna read the next one?
Okay. Serious question. Anonymous, okay. Please. Hey, guys and gals. So, I have a friend who's going through some stuff, and I have no idea how to help him. He has body image issues, which isn't really the hard part, just icing on the cake. The part I don't know how to tackle is his depression. He is currently in college, stays away from his parents. He feels like he has no friends, and his circle of friends in the fandom keeps getting smaller and smaller. He keeps mentioning suicide and things, and I don't think he's planning on actually doing it, thankfully. I've already suggested trying to get help out there, but because he's in college, he says he does not want to get attached to a person out there because it is a temporary thing. He also lives like 11 hours away from me, so just visiting him isn't too much of an option. I want to help my friend, but I have no idea how to do so or what I might be able to say. Any advice you might be able to give would be welcome to open ears. Thanks, Anon. Well, if he is at college, I'm going to guarantee you, more or less, I could be wrong on this day and age, that there will be student services for depression and the like. Most schools have counselors. Most schools have... I mean, hell, even when I was at going to Brookhaven Community College, they had a feeling overwhelmed meet up with this support group on Thursdays or whatever.
Right.
You know, and this was a community college. So if he's going to a proper university, they will have stuff on campus for students who need mental help. Now, of course, the biggest thing is you need to actually get him to go take advantage of that. But doing a little digging on your friend's campus's website and getting him that information could be put in the right direction.
Because if you do part of the work for him with finding
there's really no way that you can do anything remotely aside from point him in the right direction. I don't think you're going to spirit yourself 11 hours to see him, and you're not going to be able to solve all those problems in a visit. But getting him pointed in the right direction is probably the best thing you can do for him, because schools have, well, I'm pretty sure most of them have licensed psych professionals, or at least alumnus that have backgrounds in psychology, or hell, even students that are learning the ropes under the supervision of a professor, you know, sort of a practicum for them. I don't know. You know, so I would suggest you just find the resources that are available to him on the campus and point him at them. And, you know, encourage him to take advantage of it. Because, yeah, you know, college is temporary, but you have to get through it first.
Yeah, and I mean, that I wouldn't let that temporary thing stop him. I mean, that's just a lame excuse.
Exactly.
It's just him saying, I don't want to do this. Because, you know, you deal with psychiatrists or therapists deal with temporary situations all the time. You know, sometimes you only see somebody for as long as they actually need you. And, you know, sometimes that's 6 months, sometimes it's 6 years. You know, it just depends. That's not an excuse. You need to push past that. That excuse and just
And a day at a time is how you handle this kind of thing. It's so there's our advice. I think that's about it.
Okay, so. Do you want to do another one, or do we want to wrap it up?
Let's see. We have 12 left. Let's see. This next one says it's a Shiva question, so we should mark that as not read.
Okay.
I think we should probably just wrap it up at this point. We've been going for over an hour at this point. I'm going to mark as unread.
Yeah.
And, only to be cooking dinner here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Too, because Panther and our roommate have gotten home quite early today.
Yep.
Thank you for listening. And sure, let's take that guy's advice. Or, guys, gals, I wasn't totally certain of the gender. How did you find us? How did you find Notcast?
Yeah, that works for me. Throw out our contact info, email us in at notcast@foxstuffers.com, or send us asks or non-asks on our Tumblr.
notcast.tumblr.com.
Our Twitter and FA and LJ are all Notcast also.
Yep.
So you can follow me on Twitter if you want. I'm Fuzzwolf2000 on Twitter.
And I am Saverin Drake.
Okay, and I guess that wraps that up for this week. Yep. And we should be back next week with Tales of New Year's.
Yeah. Yep. And hopefully Shiva will be back before too long. You know, as we said, she's been having some really rough family stuff, so keep her in her mind, keep her in thought, because that's really all you can do. And thanks for listening.
Okay, on that note, good night.
And big balls.
And then Rarity lactated.
Ah, God. Hi.